Hi, my name is Steve.
Hi, my name's Greg, and I make content on the internet.
Fantastic, Greg. We've known each other for like a solid minute and a half now.
That's true. That's about right. It's always I love working with you, Sean. It's great to hang out with you once again.
Man, thank you so much, Nick. Appreciate you being here. So for those of you who don't know, my buddy Greg Miller here, generally internet famous personality, has been the founder of Kinda Funny, has worked in the industry for years and years and years. And honestly, one of the most dapperly efficient guys I know. Perhaps one of those people that you want to look up to one day, and that's why we have him with us talking about all things related to Millerisms, which is what I'm calling it.
Ooh, Millerisms. I like that, Steve.
So we're gonna.
I'm gonna steal that.
Do it. So we're gonna start at the beginning and kind of just try to get to know a little bit about Greg and your waffling hair. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, it's getting long and outrageous lately.
I mean, you know what? As long as Jen likes it, that's all that matters.
Exactly. She's the one who cuts it, so she it's whatever she likes, it's what it
That's
is.
That's perfectly smart. All right. So where were you born?
I was born in the suburbs of Chicago. So I was born out in DuPage County, represent, no big deal, and grew up in Glen Allen, Illinois.
What was it like growing up there?
You know, it was interesting. You asked the question, and I immediately jumped to almost feeling like an outsider, I guess.
Really?
And, you know, it was that, like... Glen Ellen is an affluent suburb of Chicago. There's a lot of money there. And we lived in unincorporated Glen Ellen, which always made it feel a bit more blue collar than the friends I would go to. And like, you know, there was the downtown Glen Ellen, and then we lived out in unincorporated Glen Ellen, which, you know, in all the grand scheme of things, wasn't far, but it felt like a hike for a kid with a bike. You know what I mean? Where I'd have to ride out of our neighborhood, no sidewalks. And then you eventually have this moment where you cross into Glen Ellen proper. And there's these lovely giant mansions, and there's these, you know, amazing sidewalks to ride on and things like that, and another world over. It was a lovely childhood. It was a great town. You know, I when I talk about being an outsider that way, it's I don't know why. You know, I love this show because I don't know what I'm getting into. You're like, it's going to be introspective. So like, that's I cleared the mechanism in the mind, and that's what jumped to it. But yeah, it was an idea of, you know, going to Catholic school, going to a private school in downtown Glen Ellen, and it was a great education and, you know, made great friends and stuff. But it was always that thing of I felt like, you know, my parents were really busting their ass to make sure I could go to this and have this education and have that leg up.
That's amazing. And a great segue into the follow up of who is mom and dad?
Oh, sure. You know, mom and dad are Greg Miller and Jamie Kennedy. You know, dad is the number one crane operator in Chicago, as we call him on Kinda Funny. He's worked for the local 150 Union for Operating Engineers his entire adult life or whatever. And he's been doing, you know, heavy equipment, but then transitioned to cranes a long, long time ago. Yeah. And so it is that thing that, you know, I love going downtown with dad, or even mentioning you're going downtown to do something to dad, because it becomes like, where are you at? What is, oh, Gregory, I built this building over here. 1974 and I did this. So like when Jen came to visit, like for one of the first real times that we had downtime, you know, he was so excited to put us in his truck and just drive us downtown and point out all this different stuff that he did, you know, decades ago and stuff like that. So yeah, you know, that's dad, blue collar construction worker. You know what I mean? He goes to bed at now even more ridiculous hours. What, he goes to bed at like 7:30 or 8 to be up at 2 or 3 in the morning to drive into town to get, or downtown to get working. And he works lots of times, 6 days a week, 6 days a week, 6 days a week, doing all sorts of crazy stuff down there to keep doing that. And he loves working. And I definitely think that's where my work ethic comes from on so many different levels, even though we couldn't be in terms of interest more night and day. And then mom, you know, Jamie Kennedy, she was, especially now, as you know, Jen and I are expecting, we're on the precipice of being parents here, to have, to look back at your childhood with that lens. Mom was the matriarch. Mom was the one who was spending her days at home with me, taking care of me, and then going and working nights. She, you know, she's always been administrative. You know, she's worked at the Glen Ellen Clinic. And then she moved over to the Village of Glen Ellen. You know, she's been through a million different office jobs, doing stuff in the front of house, stuff like that, administration. And so... for me, it's always that she was always the parent that I had the most experience with, you feel like, because, you know, during the day, most of the time as a kid, you're awake. And so it would be that handoff that dad would come home exhausted from work and have to, you know, put up with me for a couple hours and then go then put me to bed. He could go to bed too or whatever. But yeah, you know, both of them are incredibly hardworking, really proud to be from Chicago. You know, it's that thing of both of them complain about the weather like everybody else in the Midwest, but they have no intention of ever going anywhere else. And, you know. their families are right there with them, or right in the suburbs next to them, or the, you know, the subdivision next to them. And they had all grown up in the same thing, you know. For our house growing up in unincorporated Glen Ellen, you know, Grandma Miller lived right down the street. She was a block away. My mom's folks, they had been just across the main road until, and they probably were when I was like super small, but they eventually moved to a senior-ish facility, like apartment building. Not like there was nurses taking care of them, but like a building that a bunch of seniors lived in Glen Ellen as well. So like everybody was always super close to home.
Like a senior living kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't want to, they didn't have nurses or whatever, but it was only old people lived in this building, I remember.
Those are great communities because you have like lots of elderly people, but also very cute dogs usually. So
100%. Yeah. That is 100% correct.
Yeah, exactly. So was mom and dad good cheerleaders, good mentors?
Yeah, I think so. I always go back to, you know, I knew what I wanted to do, which obviously has evolved, but I knew that I wanted to write about video games as a living in the fourth grade. In the fourth grade, I had an issue of GamePro. The cover was Death and Return of Superman. On the inside was Maximum Carnage. And for one entire month solid, I read it cover to cover every night. Wow. And I had a little note card with all the game stores, you know, for EB and Toys R Us or whatever. And after school, I would just call down the note card asking if they had Death and Return of Superman yet. Because, you know, back in those days, the GamePro would just say, you know, summer of whatever year it was. And it's like, summer could be defined by a lot of months. True. And I was not going to miss this game. And so, you know, after a month of doing that, it finally dawned on me that an adult must have gotten paid to write the words. Mm-hmm. And so I marched into the kitchen and I told my mom, I know what I want to do with my life. And she stopped making dinner and said, what's that? And I said, I want to write about video games. And I showed her the magazine. And she said, okay, you know, we can make that happen. And at that time, you know, not having the internet and not having everybody else trying to chase this crazy dream as well, it was that basic idea of like, okay, cool. Well, this is a magazine. These are words. That's journalism. Let's put you on that course. And I feel like a lot of different parents would have scoffed at that idea or not seen that that could have been an actual future. I know even right now, right, with all the people blowing up on Twitch, that Far Side cartoon comes around all the time of the kid playing Nintendo and the parents dreaming of the one ads about play video games for money, yada, yada, yada. And I think it's so easy to look back at that, and especially with the little bit of background I gave you, right? And like, of course, my mom was going to be behind that, right? Like, you know, she's with me all the time. She's, you know, surrounded by me playing Superman and, you know, wanting to dress up as a Ghostbuster and her making my Ghostbuster uniform and stuff like that. Dad, I, for a long time, I'm way over it, and it's totally a Greg thing, not a his, my dad's perspective or pushing on me. But for a long time growing up, like, there was that idea of like, I can't be making my father proud because, like, you know, my dad is a quote unquote man's man, right? Like, my dad is the wake up on a Saturday morning at 5:30 and start working in the garage on your truck. And then, you know, go out into the front yard and mow the grass and have it cut just right with the right pattern. And like, you know, he's not coming back in until 5 o'clock for dinner. And he's all sweaty and grimy. And meanwhile, like, I'm in the basement, like, shut the lights. I'm playing the Sega Genesis game. Leave me alone. And so not that I lived in fear of it, and not that he gave an impression that I wasn't. And obviously I'm way past that. This is you know, more of a teen child thing, but like, you know, it was always fascinating to see him continue to encourage me and want me to chase my passions the way he chased his, which are, you know, this construction thing. And now it's collecting classic Coke bottles and all this stuff. But like, you know, I exactly right. I think of the times, you know, when he would take me to Chicago Comic Con and we would get the 3-day pass. And I want you to know, like, I didn't go to a Comic-Con panel until I started covering Comic-Con for IGN. Like, wow. We would get the 3-day pass, and all I would do is go booth to booth to booth, looking through long boxes, looking at, you know, looking at action figures and trying to pick up all the free crap I could. Like, me and him had these giant bags that I'd be walking out with free stuff. And it was that thing of, my dad does not give a rat's ass about comic books, right? But my dad loves collecting, and my dad loves, you know, watching me be passionate about something. And so, like, that was our time. I think in the way that, you know, mom, for the most part of me growing up, had the majority of time because of how the work schedules worked. I feel like when I look back at those Comic-Con moments, that's, you know, me and my dad actually sharing something that, you know, he was passionate about too. And so they both really kindled my passions, and they were cheerleaders, and they were always proud of me. I never felt like what I was doing didn't matter.
It certainly sounds like some of your past definitely comes full circle with some of the things I heard you offhandedly mention about Ghostbusters, about Batman, about, you know.
Sure. I just never grew up, right? All this stuff behind me. That Superman sign back there, you know, that dad bought that for me when, you know, every Wednesday he'd pick me up from school and he would take me to pick up my comic books. And we bought that from Pages and Wheaton when they were not closing. They were a bookstore. They were just getting out of doing comics because obviously nobody makes money for comics.
Of course, nobody.
And then the Superman bust is from a Warner Brothers studio store that mom and dad would take me to like quarterly to see what was going on and do all stuff. Like all of my passions are 100%, you know, supported and enriched by them. You can't see it, but there's a closet here that I've made to be a Ghostbusters closet. Yeah. Like you open it up and it's just proton packs and jumpsuits. And in the back is like this memory bin, and it's got my old yearbooks in it, and like this, you know, things I've pared down, but old yearbooks, old drawings I did when I was growing up and doing a whole bunch of comics. But most importantly for this conversation, like there are the two Ghostbuster uniforms my mom made me. Like, you know what I mean? This is obviously 84, 5, 6, right? Where like Ghostbusters was huge, but nothing was licensed and commercialized like it is now. So if you wanted a jumpsuit, like mom had to go to whatever it was, the at the time Joann Fabrics equivalent and buy the yards and come up with a pattern and then paint the no ghost logo herself and stuff. And like, that's the crazy thing about right now, you know, again, being on the precipice of actually having a son, of like, obviously, you know, as the man with the functioning proton pack on the wall, like I'm going to force this child to like Ghostbusters. Course, yes. And the moment I get to take that photo of him and in the jumpsuit that my mom made for me, right? And me in my current jumpsuit, that again, my current movie accurate Ghostbusters jumpsuit is also made by my mom. I bought the flight suit and then brought it home from college and she sewed on all the patches for me. Like, that's going to be such a weird full circle moment for me, and I'm sure it'll just devastate my mom.
That's amazing. What a full circle moment. Do you find that a lot of the characters that you idolize also are values that you idolize? Do you find inspiration in the characters and in the writing?
100%. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, I went to Catholic school, private school growing up, right? And like, that isn't just for elementary, junior high, whatever. I went to Catholic school from kindergarten all the way till I graduated high school. Like Mizzou was the first time I went to a school where there wasn't a uniform, where there wasn't a dress code. And the reason I tell you that is that I got all of that Catholic school education. And when it comes to a pivotal moment in life, not even a pivotal moment, I guess, but like, you know, so many people would say, you know, what would Jesus do? And for me, it's always what would Superman do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about religion as my moral compass as much as I think about something like Superman, right? And something like Clark Kent, and something about that mythos and this character who has unlimited power, right? Now, of course, I would argue for better versions of Superman where he's not as powerful, but for argument's sake, unlimited power, right? Where he can do whatever he wants in the world. He could, you know, snap his fingers and crush a mountain. He could rule over all of us. And what does he choose to do? He chooses to live as us. He chooses to be a friend. Like, there's that great speech from Christopher Reeve on the press tour for Superman, the Richard Donner film, the movie, where he's talking about, like, you know, what is Superman? He's like, Superman's a friend. Like, Superman is, and that's what everybody needs right now. He's a person who I believe was raised in Kansas. And like, I always talk about it being that Clark is the true identity. I don't like the ones where Kal-El is the identity, right. Clark is the disguise. Like, he's Clark Kent, and he was raised, you know, from these two amazing parents who taught him to always help people out and always be there for people and, you know, drop what you're doing to, if you can lend a hand, do it. And he's able to do it on a giant scale and then a local scale. And then even beyond that, doing it as Clark, as a journalist and stuff like that. Like, I think there's a lot of that. And I think that is what's wrapped up in me. And I think, you know, obviously it's fiction and Superman doesn't exist, so it's harder to walk the walk sometimes, and we all stray from the path and do things. But for sure, you know, we just did on the Kind of Funny podcast recently, we had Anna Sale on, who hosts Death, Sex, and Money, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and she's wrote a book called Let's Talk About Hard Things. And we had a question from the audience for her and us that was, you know, how do you want to be remembered? And, you know, we all went around the table talking about this, and I'm like, I want to be remembered as a good person. Like, I want to be remembered as somebody who brighten people's lives, right? Who helped out when he could, you introduced me as an internet celebrity, right? And it's like, all right, well, that and $2.50 will get me a cup of coffee. Like, you know what I mean? But if I have this platform, I hope I'm using it in the right ways. And that's, you know, supporting causes, that's being positive, that's not getting into the mud to wrestle with people who want to be horrible online.
Do you find that your ideals as Greg Miller are identical to the character, and therefore you're looking at them as someone that you want to be? Or do you think that you drew your inspiration from the characters and it shaped who you are?
I would say it's probably more, I don't think that, you know, I mean, if you were to boil Superman down to a moral code, right? It's truth, justice, and the American way. And it's like, granted, he stepped away from the American way and became a bit more worldly as comics have evolved or whatever. But like, I don't know, I would think it's more that I've taken all of that and let that shape me and shape my mindset for it, right? And I think that it is such an impossible ideal to stand up for and or stand up to. And it's one of the best things, I think, when you see a good Superman story, right, is that the ones that lose me, and I think lose so many people, is when he's infallible, mm-hmm. when there are no mistakes, right? Like, everything he does is right. It's way more impressive to see him struggle with something and be reminded that, just like all of us, right, anybody who has looked to you and thought you had the answer, and, like, of course, you're just a human being. You're just a person. You don't have all the answers. And so you have to have that internal struggle. And sometimes you're wrong, and you make the wrong call, or you do the wrong thing, or you hurt somebody when you didn't mean to. Like, that, I think, is all tied up in me, and then also then, yeah, the mythos of Superman, but more of it than having to be this fiction having to be wrapped around what actual reality is.
Right, because real actual people wrote the dialogue for these fictitious books, right?
And yeah, yeah.
Something we get caught up in, a lot of these are fake, yada yada, but these are all written by people with dreams, aspirations, fears, you know, and 100%. trying to bring us around. Is for you, do you find that your fears, your aspirations can be hooked back to these characters, and that is where a lot of your inspiration to keep going forward comes from?
It's a good question. I guess in some, like, super subconscious way, maybe. Because, right, I'll talk about it all the time of, like, you know, I think the people who don't like me, or, you know, would tell you they're not Greg Miller fans. And I do not mean actual fans on the internet. I mean people I've had one-on-one interactions with, right, who have walked away with a different impression. I often think about it in the way that, you know, Superman, when he has a villain, quote unquote, in his life, Lex Luthor or somebody, right? Like, and not every time, but most of the time. If you trace that back, it's often from an action that Superman took that was trying to do the right thing. And it was trying to, you know, save somebody or whatever it was going to be, that had an adverse reaction in their life that then made them go, well, this guy is clearly the villain and I'm clearly the hero. Because, of course, we're all the hero in our own stories, right? And so I'm, you know, out here right now painting you a picture with five colors when there's obviously an entire spectrum, you know what I mean? But to boil it down to this and, like, how it all works, like, yeah, there's probably some of that tied up in it, where it is the idea that I dial stuff like that back all the time of, like, you know, what am I trying to do here? And what example am I trying to set? And I think that is a very Superman question to ask, right? Especially, you know, for, again, I hate saying it, but, like, having any kind of internet celebrity, right, puts more eyes on you and does put you into a place where people look to you to set an example, to say something, to do something. And so I think that is something that, you know, he would wrestle with as well.
I believe you're very correct. And I think all superheroes would have giant social media accounts with millions of Twitter followers, you know, and whatnot. Because people look up to people for leaders. They look up to people for how to show them the way of how to be, you know. And when you meet those detractors, you know, what do you do as a human being, as Greg Miller? You know, what is it like for you, someone who is loved by so many? What goes through your mind when somebody just goes, you know what? I don't like you. You're not for me.
Well, that's a multi-sided question.
That's why I'm here. Yep.
Sorry, what?
That's why I'm here. Yep. Mm.
I think that, you know, you're asking a couple different things there, because sadly, most of the time when somebody decides they don't like me and that they've written me off, I don't get a personalized letter for it. I don't get a tweet about it. I don't get tagged in it, right? It is very much that they hear me say something or heard me say something, you know, throughout my 14 years of podcasting and writing reviews and in growing up in a lot of ways, right? And then I become dead to them. And you don't ever hear about that until maybe somebody tags you in a thread that, you know, blah, 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 that was way off. And then also the same thing too is, like, it's incredibly rare. This is, I think, part of why the internet's the internet and the internet and social media aren't real. It's incredibly rare to have someone come up to you and say, at a PAX, at a whatever, hey, I don't like you. I don't like what you do. I don't like your content, right? And so you get into this interesting thing of, I don't like Lord of the Rings. I don't expect, if I saw Elijah Wood tomorrow, I wouldn't walk up to him and be like, hey, you're a great actor and I love Legend of the Lost Stuff, but I don't like Lord of the Rings. Like, sell me on it, right?
Right.
Like, people trade in this really fascinating, interesting way where in the internet, you'll go on Twitter and say you don't like something, but you would never say that to somebody's face. But also, for the most part, when people say that on the internet, they don't think they're saying it to someone's face. And I think, you know, I don't know your personal stance on it, Steve, or how much you see it, but I feel like that is such a big part of having a presence on the internet, is that people lose sight of the fact that you are still just a dude. Mm-hmm. where I'm still just checking my phone at the shop, waiting for something to happen, waiting to get on a plane, walking Portillo. And right. So when you do open it up and you do search your name and you do find somebody like, this guy sucks. Yeah, I host EA Play, right? And Greg Miller is trending. And my friends sent it to me like, oh, you're trending on Twitter. And I'm like, cool, do not click on it. Do not click on it. I am not trending for the reasons you want me to be trending right now. People hate me because they're just shouting into the void that they want to see skate and they don't want to hear from me, which I totally understand. And you have to check and balance that. You have to understand and be able to actually know when to engage. And so like for me, if you come to me and I have wronged you, then I want to have a conversation, right? There was a great one, and I say great one, very sad one, when G4 came back. Mm-hmm. When G4 came back, they announced, hey, we're coming back, yada, yada. You know, I woke up that day, the announcement had happened a few hours before, and I might be playing fast and loose with the timeline, but the announcement had happened. And I checked my phone, and I was tagged in this thing. And it was like, clearly this had already been going on. Like it was like a thread. And I got tagged in this thing from this person I did not know. And I was like, what? And I went back and read it from the start all the way through. And it was this guy, and it's going to sound bad, but it's not, I swear. It was this guy taking a victory lap on me and saying like karma had been served, justice had been served. And what it was this story from me going to MomoCon, which is in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2015. It might've been 2014, somewhere in there though. And on this panel, it was me and somebody else who's in a video game entertainer or producer, journalist, I'm not sure. The story was about this guy, you know, being in the audience, being a fan of us, being excited to ask the question, getting up to the microphone and feeling like he had a great question and being like, hey, this is, you know, when, hey, the G4 just closed down or whatever is about to close down. And, you know, do you think there's a future where that comes back? And I guess, you know, I laughed again, like, you know how it is. Mm-hmm. Truth is in the eye of the beholder. I totally believe this person. I do not remember this moment. I laughed, turned to the guy. I was like, oh, my God, of course not. Are you kidding me? And I was like, do you even watch TV? Other person? He's like, no, I don't watch TV. No, it's blah, 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 blah. And then the thread is like how this person was like, I was devastated. Like Greg Miller is an asshole. I can't believe. And it was like this thing of like, you knocked all my confidence out. You ruined the show for me. You ruined my day, blah, 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 blah. But here we are years later. And even as he's saying, like, he's like, I know this is a silly axe to grind. I know it shouldn't have gotten to me, but here we are years later and I'm justified and I'm vindicated. And I know Greg, and he's like, I know Greg Miller won't ever see this or care and yada, yada. And I was tagged in it. And like, you know, my reaction immediately was to stop what I was doing, jump on this Twitter thread and be like, I am so sorry. This is the problem of like not understanding context, not understanding how to talk on a panel at that point, not understanding that this is a big deal and the energy and, you know, the care this person went through to pick their question. And then for me, I wasn't laughing at, and it was this whole thing of like, I don't remember this, but I know who I am. And I wasn't laughing at you. I was more laughing at G4, which at that time was just, you know, campus PD reruns and a bunch of other stuff. It was this thing of, I'm sorry. And then him be like, oh my God, I never thought you'd see this. You know, this makes up for it. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry I held this grudge. I'm like, no, no, you don't have to be. Like, I just wish you would have told me sooner. Like to find out someone out there has been anti-Greg Miller in a very hard-hitting, personal, heartbreaking way based on something I did not mean. You know what I mean? Yep. There's stances I'll take where it's like, you're either with me or you're against me on this, and that's the end of it. And I understand if you walk away from wanting to be a kind of funny best friend or listen to me or yada, yada, yada. But to be like, this totally innocuous thing that I did that totally affected your life and your internet and your... I was like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. And like, that's part of, you know, again, I was talking earlier about growing up in all this, and it is learning that responsibility and the responsibility I have and the words I carry. And again, to go back to it of like what I'm trying to do out here and who I'm trying to be, like, I don't want anybody to ever have that again. And so it is about being positive. And not that that means I can't critique something, not that it means I have to be a cheerleader for everything, not that it means I can't tell you that I don't like this PlayStation game or something like that. Yeah, but it does mean that, like, not being flippant, not, you know, coming off and saying something, knee-jerk reaction, I put out a tweet and you read that and you think that that is what I feel like. And every person who doesn't like Greg Miller has that kind of thing. And I wonder how many of them are legitimate, like we don't agree on something, or are they misread something. They remember a story of something I did, you know, on Up at Noon in 2012 or whatever that I would never do today. Like, that's the struggle of it, right? And like, that is something I carry with me, not in a way of guilt or sorrow, but carry with me in the way of like, I know I need to pay attention to what I'm doing in a way I never would have thought. When you go back and look at what we used to do on IGN, right? We never would have thought like years later that would be being referenced because you just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it's what I call the Godzilla effect. So I've referred to this in a couple of my videos. You know, if you're a Godzilla, you know, you're seeing this other monster and you're fighting and you're trying to protect an island and put down a bad, you know, monster. But the people down below, you have just stepped on their car. You've crushed the last bit of money they have. Their house is now gone because you accidentally stepped on it, and it doesn't, it's not that it doesn't mean anything to you, but you inadvertently did damage, and you weren't trying to. You were trying to do the right thing, and you did the wrong thing. Of course, that's a super hyperbolic, extrapolation of the situation. But I think that's, you know, what it is to be on the internet. So, you know, how do you deal in our world of social media where people like yourself, me, you know, everyone else in this industry, we have to have takes, right? We have takes on everything, and it's not that we're trying to be take people. It's just that people look to you for what you think about things. So how do you filter out those times where people are coming at you as bad faith actors and those people who are honestly trying to help you change to be what they see as better?
Oh, I think it all comes down to how you come at somebody. Like a bad faith actor, you see a mile away. Yeah. They're insulting, they're using derogatory terms, they're using some kind of catchphrase to indicate they're part of a different cause. Right. Like, as soon as this pops up, you're like, all right, don't have to listen to you. Mute. Yeah, it's more the other way of, when somebody comes at you and talks to you about, and I don't mean to say I would only listen to somebody from the Kind of Funny community, but somebody you've recognized before, you've had other interactions with, you know this person isn't just a hater. They are a fan, or they are a consumer, they are a follower, or whatever nomenclature you want to use. And so, like, you know, I go back to the beginning of this year, we did the FCF, right? The Fan Control Football League, where we own a football team called the Wild Aces. The fans vote on everything. It was this great thing. We won the championship. No big deal. No big deal. Well, you know, first ever FCF champions, Wild Aces. No big deal. But again, if you're unfamiliar, like, it's a real football team with real players that we draft every week. They play real football games, yada, yada, yada. And so, like, the refs have been making really bad calls throughout the season. And so I had done a whole thing where I had entered into this and told everybody that when we enter into this, like, you know, the other owners are like Richard Sherman and Quavo from the Migos. And I'm like, I'm going to definitely be WWE heel Greg Miller that a lot of people know. Sunglasses, you know, blazer. I'm going to cut promos and be really, really crazy and over the top. And I did that and people dug it. And then I started doing it on Twitter. And that was when the context was lost, where it was that when I was on camera cutting a promo and I'm over the top and Roger's doing cuts on me, great, cool. But there was a game where the refs were made some bad calls that cost us the game before, and then were starting to cost us this game. And so I had gone on Twitter and been like, fuck these refs. This guy should be fired, yada, yada, yada. And like, I'm amplifying this up and, you know, driving home, and it's all caps and yada, yada, yada. And I think that people who are watching it are enjoying it and getting it, and we're all joking in the chat about it, and they're in on the jokes and the references. The 1.2 million people who are seeing these tweets were not. There were so many people who did not care about the FCF, and like, why is Greg Miller, the guy who's always telling us to be better to each other and always trying to be positive on the internet, calling for this person to be fired? Like, what, blah, blah, blah. And what it was is that, you know, games were played on Saturday, and I do my best to keep a work-life balance, because just like I was talking about with my parents, like, you know, I get my work ethic from them. Yep. And especially now during, you know, pandemic COVID times or whatever, where we're all working from home, it is the easiest thing in the world for me to never disconnect from a computer, never disconnect from Twitter, never, you know, stop doing anything I need to do and spend any time with my wife. And so it was that, you know, the games are this like hour and a half moment of like, I have to work on this Saturday night to do this. And of course, work is drinking a few beers, hanging out, watching a football game. I'm not smashing the atom over here. But when it's done, it is, all right, cool. Close everything down. Let's watch a show. Let's eat dinner. Let's blah, blah, blah. You know, and so it was that I did all this stuff on Twitter, hung out with Jen, watched a movie. We went to bed, woke up the next day, like made breakfast or something. And I finally checked back in online. And it was by no means hundreds of responses, but there were like, I would say 6 or 7 people in my ads that were, and I had to go dig for them because there were so many people adding me about other things that were like, whoa, dude, like this isn't hitting the way you think it was. And actually what pointed out is I went to our subreddit, that was the next morning, and saw a post about it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I popped in and I was like, hey, I hear you, but it's a wrestling thing. I'm the heel. This is the bit, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, bless their hearts. Dozens of Kind of Funny fans were like, oh no, sweet child, like, no, this, it isn't working how you think it is. Like, this isn't like, and they explained it to me in a way that like was crystal clear. And I came back an hour later, read all these responses, and like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to the tweets are deleted. That won't happen again. Thank you for explaining it to me. And like, that's how I react to criticism. That's how I react to people who are upset, or not even upset, I guess, but just have constructive criticism. I want that. I need that. You know, I am a performer and I am trying to accomplish something out there. And if it's not hitting, I need to know that. And that goes to the other side of when I'm doing the serious game stuff, when I'm reviewing a game. If I, you know, you can not like my opinion or you don't ever hate me for, you know, thinking I don't think Resident Evil was worth your time. But like, it's more about talking about what you didn't like about how I reviewed the game or something to that, that I want to take in and I want to act on. And again, sometimes it will be that I don't agree with you, so that won't go that way. But I want to have that conversation. Like, I always want to have that conversation. There's nothing more important to me on a professional level right now than my relationship with the audience. You know, I think, you know, another example is like the other day, this will take a second to drill down, but stick with me.
Okay.
On our subreddit, there was a post that was quoting a post from the Rooster Teeth subreddit that was referencing my brother and me. And it was like, whoa, it had gotten drawn out to our thing of the guys are sponsored by Upstart, which is a loan thing, right? And the McElroy brothers were too. And here's a post from this person about how bad personal loans are. Is this an issue? Should they not use the sponsorship? And so I read this person's post on the other subreddit about this other podcast. And I came back and I was like, listen, and I had this long response. I'm like, I am not carrying water for the sponsor right now. I'm here because you say we wouldn't take money from a crappy company. Correct, we wouldn't. So I want to say the post that person's referencing, the story they're telling isn't about Upstart. It was about them getting taken in on a different payday personal loan. They're just saying that personal loans are bad, which they're dangerous. And like, we had this long thing in discussion where I, you know, we called out of like, hey, if you had a Upstart experience, can you let us know what it was like? And so I think on any other corner of the internet, if a host who's sponsored came and did that, there would be so much more of, you are here because you're trying to protect your pocketbook. You're trying to protect the sponsor, blah, 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 blah. My audience understood that I was there trying to protect them because I was bringing in references from, you know, CNBC and World News and all these different reviews of Upstart and conversations about Upstart. And then all the people who have used Upstart based on our ad, which was so heartwarming, were all like, listen, my APR is 8% or whatever. Da, da, da. Like, it was all these people being like, I'm having a good experience with it. And nobody on that thread was like, oh, this is gross. Why are they talking about a sponsor? It was very much like, we get why this is happening. Thank you for having this conversation. And so like, that is, you know, the responsibility angle. That is the way I want to converse with people, that if you have a legitimate concern, whether it's about how, you know, we act on content, something I said on content, or a sponsor of the content, like, I want to talk that out with you.
Absolutely. And as you said, we have to be able to evolve and grow and change as people. Otherwise, we're all going to be the same human we are when we were 18, and almost nobody wants that. So...
You
know,
of course.
You know, and I think that's a great push into something that I know a lot of people haven't heard a lot from you about, which is your inspiration to change and inspiration to face the fears of evolving into new content. So you were born and bred, you know, reporter. Games were your blood, you know, as we said, yeah. Right? And you know,
yeah.
How do you conquer that fear of going out and doing something that's in your heart, a passion you have, and not being afraid that you're just going to flop over and fail?
Oh, I think it's the fact that, you know, I fail all the time. Like, yeah, I think you look at anything Kind of Funny puts out, how, you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of shows we put out there that we love that don't get attached to, right? Mm-hmm. But it's about pitching that to the audience in a way that you're allowed to fail, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. You know, we did a thing a couple years ago for pilot shows. We are a podcast company. Every week, you know, you're getting a PS I Love You, an XCast, a Kind of Funny podcast, the list goes on, let alone the daily Kind of Funny Games dailies and now the streams. So it was this idea that, you know, we had so many ideas for shows we wanted to do, but could we really commit to doing another show that just goes on and on and on and never ends? And so what we started doing is doing pilot program stuff where it's like, cool, you know, on the fundraiser thing, if we hit this, we'll do 8 episodes of the PlayStation VR show. We'll do 8 episodes of Cooking with Greggy. We'll do whatever, 4 episodes of Orioration, whatever number you want to put on it. And so I think that gave us permission to try new things. And if the audience didn't connect with them, we could walk away from them and not have to worry. And I mean, in terms of a career thing, you know what I mean? I got a degree in magazine journalism to go write about video games, right? And so now, 14 years later, I scream into the camera about whatever it is I want to scream about that day. And I feel like if you were to go show Kind of Funny Games Daily or whatever to Greg, you know, leaving Columbia to come work at IGN, there'd be that like, what is going on? And I don't review and I don't write anymore. But the thing about that was always that, you know, it was so slow. It was such a gradual process. It was very much the frog in the pot that slowly starts to boil. Mm-hmm. Like, he just doesn't know it's happening. Where you look at it and you see, you know, getting to IGN and Damon's doing Game Scoop, and I definitely want to do Game Scoop. And then nobody else wants to. Nobody, so many other people don't want to do podcasts. That's a waste of time. They start wanting to put editors on camera, and Damon and I are very much about that. We want to have fun and goof off. Yeah. And I want to be like it was in backyard wrestling. And the older editors there who had founded the site were like, no, I got hired to review video games. I got hired to write. That's what I want to do. I don't want to go be on camera and have to worry about presenting myself that way. And so those opportunities came up naturally, and I was just drawn to them naturally. And then I think as I honed the skills I had at that, as I brought over, you know, the reason I started getting cast on IGN E3 stages to interview people was that I was arguably the best interviewer there at the time because I had a journalism degree background. When I was interviewing people for the newspaper, right, like there was so much going on of I'm asking you the question, I'm writing down your answer, I'm stopping writing your answer to get the direct quote you just said, but then I'm also actively listening so I can ask you the next question I want to ask you that isn't the question I thought it was going to be, because now you, and so like to change that over to that, now just talk to Kojima. Oh, okay. Like, all right. And I don't have to write anything down. And he says something interesting and I can pivot and do this. And I got to hit at some point this B-roll or this trailer. I can do that. And so like all that slowly started to go and, you know, grow into such a natural way. And then to get up at noon, they want me to host a talk show and be funny and try to do that stuff. And I didn't succeed at the funny all the time, but host a talk show. And then that teaches me YouTube. And then that gets me making my own YouTube content. And then I find the freedom that is YouTube. And then I find the freedom that is Twitch. And then, you know, we spiral off and do our own thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's spiraling off. You know, you mentioned earlier that you are the guy who's, you know, in early and out late, and you know, just like your dad was, and that has been something that runs in your blood, you know. I mean, you're one of the hardest working people in the industry. No doubt. Nobody out there would disagree with that, you know. You hear about celebrities like Dwayne Johnson all the time saying the same thing, like, you know, yeah, be the first one in, the last one out, right? But here's what no one ever talks about. No one ever says, what do you fill those hours with? Like, they all tell you to just be at the office, just be there and just do stuff. You know, what do you say to people who are asking you, you know, not how do you be the next kind of funny, but if you're following your passion, what is your advice to people out there who are trying to figure out, great, I have to put in the work. Where do I find that work? Where do I go?
You know, I think the start is if I was telling you to follow your passion, the thing would be then follow your passion. And I know that sounds weird, but stick with me of, you know, for me, it started that I just wanted to do what I saw Dan Shu doing in EGM, right? So I wanted to write, I wanted to review. Then you get to IGN, I want to do podcasts with Damon, and I want to keep writing and stuff like that. Those were passions in the same way playing games are passions. Uh-huh. Creating content is a passion for me. And it's the same way of like, you know, I was very lucky to write a Joker story with Gary Whitta and get that published as a comic book. And so many people followed up and were like, dude, and I had other comic book people reach out of like, if you want to write a comic book, like to keep going with this, we should do it. And I started, you know, tinkering with some stuff. And the same thing, I've tried it before to write a comic book, but the same thing happened that always happens where eventually I was like, this feels like homework. Mm. This doesn't feel like I'm doing something I love 1000%. And I have to pour myself into whatever I'm going to do. And so, you know, it was great to start writing these comic book drafts when there was no games out. But then as games started to come, like games are my passion. Games are my life. And so I would start playing those. And so then suddenly to have this idea of like, oh, I should really work on that thing, but I need to review this game or I need to do that. Like you need to follow what your passion is and what your heart is. And I'm lucky enough that my passion of video games is also tied to a passion of creating content around it, whether it was, you know, learning to review video games, interview people about games, or make now podcasts and also video prod interviews and things like that about games. So it does become cool. You want to be a content creator. What does that mean to you? Like if you notice, like I don't stream often, like Kind of Funny streams every day. And I'll be there with Snowbike Mike, but at night you'll see Andy streaming, you'll see Nick streaming, you'll see Mike streaming, you'll see all these people on personal channels or Kind of Funny's channel streaming. And that just doesn't click for me the same way playing a game and talking about a podcast or talking on Twitter about it or something does. And that's why I don't falsely chase it. I think for certain games it works and I could do it, but I am playing games to be lost in that experience and that story. And so that's why you don't see me stream so much, because I think like, you know, a Last of Us Part 2 wouldn't hit the same way if I was playing it for the first time on stream. But you look at somebody like Andy and like he flourishes in it. Like that's what he wants to do and he loves doing it and he's so good at it. And it's that thing where I would just never be that good. That's not where my passion is. And so if you were trying to do this and you wanted to do this, It does come down to, all right, what is my passion? Games, comics, movies, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Horticulture. Right. And then it is like, what do you want to do with that passion? Like, what would you, in a perfect world, where would you want to go? And then the third key element of is do it. I think, you know, I always run into people when I'm doing a signing or meeting people in a meet and greet, and somebody will always come up and then be like, dude, you're such an inspiration. Me and my friend are going to do a podcast like yours. I'm like, oh my gosh, cool. When are you starting? And it's always, oh, well, I don't have the right camera, or he doesn't have the right headset. We're waiting. And I'm always like, that's nope. You got no excuse. If you're all in on this, then you should be ready. You have everything in your pocket. You have a smartphone, right? Like, yeah, the quality is not going to be as good as this. The quality will not be where you want it to be. But guess what? Like, your first 100 episodes of any podcast are garbage. Like, you need to get out, especially your first podcast. Yeah. Like, you can go, I'm lucky enough to have come up in a part of this industry, a time in this industry where you could go get those first swings of the bat at IGN. Like, there's no way you would do that anymore. And you go listen to my first Game Scoops, my first IGN is AFKs, and like, they make jokes about like how I'm not talking or how I'm like, I'm trying not to breathe on the microphone. There is such a distinct skill set to doing this. And this is this. This isn't reading off a teleprompter. This isn't, you know, doing a video essay like Blessing does so well. Like, there are so many different shades of what we're talking about right now that you need to jump into the deep end and you will feel overwhelmed. And that's why it's great to focus on what you're actually, what do you like about this? What do you want to do with this? You know, how many people have I seen? You know, I think of Roger Pocorni. He's a kind of funny employee right now, right? But Roger will always be to me. In 2015, we left IGN. We started Kind of Funny, and maybe the first weekend, maybe just the first week, I was folding clothes and I was like, oh, I forgot that this thing we did actually made news. I didn't expect that. So let's go to YouTube and see what all these pundits are saying about us, what people have made up videos. I'd start these videos while I folded clothes and I'd let it go for a while, and then I'd skip to the next one and skip to the next one. And like, you know, they're varying levels of quality. I eventually got to Rogers, and it was like 30 minutes in before I realized I hadn't skipped it. And I was like, damn, this guy is as good as I am at hosting a podcast and engaging a conversation and keep talking. And I went over and finally looked at it because I was just like blindly skipping. He was 16 years old, Steve. Oh, he was 16 years old. And I was like, oh my God, I stopped everything I was doing. I went and found him on Twitter. I DM'd him because he followed me. And I was like, I just need you to know you're going to make it. Like, you're going to do this. This is you. You're going to own this industry one day. And he's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Aww. And like, we had done a few things throughout the years of trying to get him to do stuff with us or send him to a Nintendo event or what have you. But while all this was happening, right, Roger found a passion for video editing where he wasn't making the video essays anymore. He was editing other people's stuff. And so, you know, you jump from 2015 now to 2021. He was like one of our hires in January, and we hired him to come in and be a full-time video editor. And like, he's been on podcasts. He's hosted like a preview thing here or there, but it's like crazy of like, he found a passion for that and remembered that there was still a way to chase it inside of the box his passion existed in.
And that's, I think, the greatest way to put it is you have to be careful what ladders you're climbing, because there's a lot of different ladders of success. And I think one of the things I've never heard you talk about is your definition of success. I've done my homework on you, and you hate the question of, are you successful? So I'm not going to ask you that question. Instead, I'm going to ask you something you haven't answered yet, which is, have you been successful by your own definition? And how do you deal with the moving goalpost that is success?
Yes, I think, you know, it would be disingenuous and foolish of me to say I haven't been successful. Clearly I have, you know what I mean? The old tired story that I won't spend too much time on, you want the new hotness, is right. Of course, you know, when we were leaving IGN or getting ready to, right, it was winding down. I remember in December when it was our final weeks before we would start Kind of Funny in January, people coming up and asking me, are you nervous? Are you scared? And I'd always say, the only thing I'm scared of is that I'm not scared. Like, it was so weird to be this calm, blowing up what my dream had been. Like, right, like I achieved my dream at 23 of writing in this industry and being at this thing. And then I had 8 great years at IGN. And so, and I was the face of IGN. And I had built a following there, and I had a whole bunch of stuff going for me. And so to sit there and be like, now we're going to blow it all up and start this weird company out of a spare bedroom. It was like, ooh, like people didn't get it. But it was that thing of, I think I had been so, I drank the Kool-Aid on YouTube at that point that I, and Patreon had been so forthcoming with us when we went to meet with them that like, no, this could work. You guys could be big if we did this, that I was like confident in doing it. And so to get out and go and start, yes, we've been successful. And the fact that, you know, we went from 4 people in a spare bedroom now to a team of 11 spread across the country during COVID, not even counting our part-timers, you know, building it's 3 times the size studio right now and doing all this investment into our future and what we're going to be for the next 10 years. Like, yeah, you know, we're successful. And when you talk about, like, you know, comparing your success or figuring it out, that's where it gets, I think, a little bit more dicey, right? Where it gets, how do you judge success? The fact that we've been able to hire this team of 11 from inside the community, right? There's never been somebody who's like, oh man, I'm a breath of fresh air. I don't know anything about Kind of Funny, blah, blah, blah. These are all people that when you look at Blessing, you look at Barrett, you look at Joey, Andy, these are all people that we knew from the Twitch comments. These are all people we knew from meet and greets. These are all people that we saw in our community get bit by the content bug and start, or just, you know, get bit by wanting to be a mod or, you know, support our community. Become part of that, build fan art and do this stuff. Like, they've all grown organically with us. And so if I want to sit there and you want to, like, you know, really get down about it, you could sit there and be like, oh, well, you know, our YouTube views aren't a million views, our subs aren't a million subs. You know what I mean? Like, this damn Dan Reichert, Mary Kish, Mike Mahardy podcast keeps chasing us down. We used to always be top number one on the daily podcast. Now I got this Fire Escape podcast. That would be how you could look at it. But of course, that's maybe just on a negative day. That's on a day where you're exhausted. That's on where the numbers haven't gone your way for whatever reason, and you want to be negative. When I do get down about that kind of thing, or not even down about it, when I do look at it and think about it, it inevitably comes back to, who cares? What are we talking about here? Like, I have a company of 11 that is continuing to grow. I have an audience of the right people. You know what I mean? Like, I have to remind myself all the time, like, when we left IGN, the conversation statement was, hey, we're exchanging the reach of IGN for the intimacy of Kind of Funny. Like, we know we're going to be small. We know that's what it's going to be. And so why get caught up in a vanity number that is the subs or the views, especially when the podcast numbers dwarf our YouTube? It's just that funny thing of, we left thinking we were going to be YouTubers and we really left and we're podcasters, which we were at IGN. I just never thought of that. Right. I thought of IGN, I'm successful because of Up at Noon, or that's how people know me, when in reality, everybody knew me from listening to Podcast Beyond on their car radio. And so it is this thing of, you know, as you go through and do it, there's a million different things you can let get in your head and you can chase it down. But the fact of the matter is, we have thousands and thousands of thousands of fans who pay us every month on Patreon to get the shows early, to get the shows ad free, to get the exclusive access and have a question read. Like, I made a comment about it today on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Sorry, I've now dated when we recorded this.
No, no.
But it was that, you know, we're talking about Starfield, and there was this guy in our chat on PS I Love You weeks ago, when we were recording it live, so he's a Patreon, and his name's JohnBX32, and he was so dead set that Starfield was going to come this year. And so, like, today, I made a big deal on the show about it. I'm like, I was right, you know, what do you guess? And then we were reading questions that had been submitted overnight where people were referencing JohnBX32. And, like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, we're successful. We've built this group of best friends who don't know JohnBX32. They only know from the show and his comments and his, you know, joking around with me. But to them, they hear Starfield and they think of this random person they've never met on the internet. But they know, because of the community we've built, that that's what's going on. And so if they're going to write in about the question today, they should make fun of him too. In a fun right, best friend course. Way. And it's like, that's magical. That is something, you know, I mean, like, you would never get it, and I'm not trying to throw shade at IGN or GameSpot or anybody, you would never get at a major site that, even if it was a Damon made a comment on a question on GameScoop, would everybody on the GameScoop audience, but then also, because this is a different show we're jumping to now, would the Unlocked audience know who JohnBX32 is? It's like, no, like, it's this very special thing we have that's incredibly successful. And again, like, you know, I sit here, and again, what I talk about all the time internally with our staff now, and I've said it for a long time externally, but I made a point a couple weeks ago to say it to them, of like, everyone needs to understand is that my dreams came true at 23. Like, boom, done. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish in my professional life. And now, don't get me wrong, new goals continue to be set, new things, milestone. Like, I never thought, you know, go talk to Greg Miller circa 2007 and be like, right, are you ever going to host E3? Be like, what the hell does that even mean? No, that's not how E3 works. Get out of here, crazy old person. I've said to them, like, my goal now is to make your dreams come true. And the way that, you know, IGN and this industry, this side of the industry, has made mine come true, it's kind of funny making your dreams come true. So that's what we need to work together on. We need to talk about what your dream is and how we make that happen and what you want to make here. Because again, for me, the most empowering thing to tell them, like, remember, Kind of Funny can be whatever you want it to be. What do you want to do here? What is your passion? Let's chase that together.
Yeah, and I think that is something very interesting, is the passion is what runs through you. So the question I asked you was, does Greg Miller think Greg Miller is successful even with the moving goalposts, and you responded with kind of funny as a team being successful. You completely went around that question because to you, your passion is kind of funny. You can feel that. It radiates around you and that you care about this so much. And I think one of the things we need to all be mindful in this industry is the fact that you have to believe in something that much. You have to believe in yourself that much. Because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. You have to believe in yourself. And for you, I find that's one of the most inspiring qualities, is that you radiate this confidence. And I would love to know your opinion. You know, somebody who went through a cancer scare, it was something that you thought those dreams might not come true. You know, in those dark times when you don't think something is going to go through, how do you find your North Star?
Oof, man. Yeah, when things are bad, it's tough. And I think you need people to talk to. You know what I mean? Me, Khalif, and Alana are doing the show over on Cloud 9 called Presence of Mind, which is all about mental health in the gaming industry, right?
Love it.
And I'm sorry to bring up Alana. I know you and her are bitter
Can't
rivals.
Standard, worst person ever.
I know. Yep. I know. But a big part of that, talking about that show, is being able to talk to someone. And I think, you know, that's why Kind of Funny is so strong, is because it is 11 people with one dream. And that does mean that I can at any point talk to Tim about something if I'm struggling with it or if I'm hung up. Especially, it'll go all the time of talking as a group in private conversations or together if it is something in general that, you know, isn't going right in the community that is getting us down, to be able to talk about it together and talk about next steps. You know, right now we're getting ready to do our Palestine fundraiser stuff, right? Like, it's to be able to have these conversations and take these raw emotions and put them towards something positive again, because we're all on the same page about what we need to do. That's what it comes down to. And so for me, it's always just about having somebody to go to. And I think, you know, that's universal in so many different ways, where you can be at your lowest and want to talk to somebody, and it can be somebody you haven't talked to in years, or you haven't had that level of serious conversation with. But if you say you need help, if you say you need reassurance, if you want to explain this to somebody who is a peer, but maybe isn't in this, you haven't had that level of conversation with, but isn't, they've had similar things, like, they'll be there for you. They'll understand that.
That's
awesome. So that's what I think I do. Yeah.
So finding support in others.
Yeah, 100%. You can't do it alone. I think that's the biggest thing about it, is that, you know, I think about that all the time of like, you know, you always have those sliding door moments of like, well, what if this had happened? What if that had happened? Right. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I never would have. I look at people like Alfredo Diaz, who now is at Achievement Hunter, but left and went on his own. Look at like Ray Narvaez, who left Achievement Hunter and went out on his own Twitch streaming and stuff. Like, even Danny to an extent, but Danny O'Dwyer has a team for Noclip. But the people who break off and go completely solo and do it all themselves, I have no idea how you do it. I would find that so overwhelming, not to mention that it's what you said of like, you know, am I a success? And I bring up Kind of Funny, right? Like the reason is that I've contributed so much to Kind of Funny, but Kind of Funny is not me. Like, Kind of Funny, it would not be Kind of Funny without Tim.
Right.
Kind of Funny would not be Kind of Funny without Nick. Kind of Funny, you know, it would not be Kind of Funny without Blessing right now. Like, everybody comes in and builds this thing together and gives different ideas and different strategies and different things. And I would have never branched off and made an Xbox podcast. It's not my passion. I don't have that knowledge. I've been on the PlayStation beat my entire career. It's what I know in and out. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought to do like the video essay show, like the Blessing show, like Raj and Blessing do. I would never be able to edit like Raj does. And so when you start having those moments of, what if this person wasn't here? What if this had happened? What if I had tried to leave on my own? What if I stayed at IGN? Like, you get into all these different things to see how really nuts it would be, and how, you know, it takes a village kind of thing.
What is the question that keeps you up as a sliding door question of what would be?
Question doesn't matter. Like, that, I don't have that moment. Like, I go back to a long time ago, one of my friends from high school, he was getting married and he had hit me up and he was having doubts or whatever. And he hit me up and been like, I know you always say, because I'm divorced and I got married super young right out of college. And he always said, I know you always said that if you could go back, you wouldn't, and like, go back in time and change things. You wouldn't change the marriage. You wouldn't change your divorce, because that got you to where you are. He's like, do you still feel that way? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And to this day, like, you want to look back at every success I've had, every failure I've had, every gaffe I've had, anything like that, I wouldn't change that at all, because it's gotten me to such a good place. And I think so much of that is who I am, my work ethic, my personality, my positivity, my desire to be better. And I don't mean be better than somebody. I mean be the best version of myself, which means that when I fuck up yelling at a ref on Twitter, I don't shut down. I don't plant my feet. I don't say, you're wrong, I'm right. That's the end of it. And I think, you know, For a lot of people, that doesn't make for engaging YouTube content. They want the hot takes. They want me, when a company fucks up, to be like, you're right, fuck that company. Are we cursing on the show? Because I've cursed a lot. that company's dead to me, and yada, yada, yada. It's like, it runs hot and cold. I'm like, well, let's see what they're going to do. Why are they doing that very specific thing? Like, it needs to be metered response. You need to have conversations about all this stuff. And I think that's a core element of it. And to come here and be like, well, I wish I hadn't done that. Well, like, if I hadn't done that, would it have missed this decision that would have led to not doing this opportunity? And, you know, do I never meet Jen, or do I not meet Jen in the right timeline in terms of for us to get together one day and get married kind of thing? Like, I would never mess with the time stream that way.
The parallel universes, the infinite possibilities. So
exactly.
Being happy with how you are now. What is the mistake that you made that you learned a great life lesson from?
Oh my God. There's so many of them, right? You know, I think it would be something we've talked about already, but like not shying away from your failures and sharing those. I think there is such a innate human thing of when you screw up to not talk about it again. You've screwed up. You understand it. You're going to learn from it, but you're going to lock that door, put it away, and not talk about it. And I think for me personally, with what we do, if we were just talking about video games, if I just made, you know, video game reviews, if it was, and I shouldn't even speak out of turn here, but if it was just that I was doing, if all we did was Easy Ally like reviews, right? Where there, and I'm saying they're not even the rest of the Easy Ally's slate of podcasts. It was just a written review, talk down the thing, yada, 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 right? What would my objectives as a company and a person and a personality would be completely different. But as Greg Miller, who, you know, is the CEO of Kinda Funny, which extends from Kinda Funny Games to kindafunny.com or youtube.com/kindafunny, right? That is a channel that is about movies and comics and then just the Kinda Funny podcast where we just shoot the shit as friends and talk about all these different things, right? Like, those podcasts go from being What Animal Would You Ride To, Let's Talk About My Divorce. Those podcasts go from Andy is in a silent feud with the CVS employee who quietly judges how many Doritos he buys to, you know, let's talk about, you know, a lesson I learned. For years, I've told the story of when I was in college. And you're 18, you go to college or whatever. I had known no gay people. Nobody was out in my high school and before that and yada, yada, yada. To go to college and have my first gay friends. Mm-hmm. And for the first slash last time, I guess, that I called something gay, meaning this is dumb, not that it's homosexual in any way, shape, or form. And my friend stopped and looked in and went, what'd you say? And I was like, oh, it's gay that this Jason movie's the number one. And he's like, but what do you mean? And he, like, it was that thing of stopping, sitting, slowing me down and talking and coming back to, like, you know me. Like, you, and like, you know who I am, and I need to tell you as your friend, like, that offends me the way you're using that word because of X, Y, and Z, and blah, 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 and lay it all out in a way that I, as a dumb 18-year-old, and not even dumb, naive 18-year-old, right, who had a sheltered experience on this, didn't understand and didn't know. And that then I take that information and I educate my friends with it. That, now you jump ahead a whole couple of decades, right?
3 years.
But you get to Kind of Funny, where we're talking about serious stuff and having it, and I suddenly have this audience that maybe they also, maybe they didn't move away for college. Maybe they just still live in a community where they don't know a gay person, something to that effect, right? And so they haven't had that experience. They haven't had that peer who's able to tell them that. And so for me to be able to share that story is able then hopefully to open their eyes to that. Like, I would like to think that what I bring outside of positivity is empathy. And like, that's the big thing we keep trying to do with all the different streams, right? Where, you know, we're having, you know, we had a Hispanic Heritage Week where we had a whole bunch of different people on Hispanic descent, right? When Black Lives Matter stuff was happening, we had a whole, I mean, Blessing obviously was already on the shows, but we brought on a whole bunch of different voices and stuff like this. Right now for the Palestine stuff of having Tam on so much stuff to talk about a different perspective to it. Like, this is an ongoing process, empathy, of being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And it is so much easier when you know someone who has gone through it or is going through it. And so if I'm able to come out and talk about the times that I dropped the ball, here's a mistake I made. Here's why it was a mistake to make it. Hopefully that leads to you, whoever is hearing that one day, being on that verge of saying or doing something, going like, wait a second, this is a lot like that thing Greg did. And I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to hurt somebody's feelings. Let's stop. Let's think about this. Let's blah, blah, blah. Or let's stand up for somebody. Or let's talk to this person that I don't know about and try to learn from it. And like, I've been around long enough that I've seen that happen. Like I've seen the, you know, the seeds we plant blossom.
Right.
And so that's the most powerful thing we do. And hope, and like, you know, you talk about my fears or my failures or anything like that. And like, no, no. And my biggest one, like there's so many, and I like to think that I talk about all of them. Like I own them all because like those are parts of my story, not parts of my story I'm proud of. There's plenty of things I've done and said, but the idea is that I would never lock those away and be ashamed of those. I want you to learn something from them. I want to show that I've learned something from them.
Is there a trick to that skill that you have found that helps you be better at that introspection, that ability to look at yourself with a critical eye, not to be ashamed, but to learn from it and grow?
I think it's like anything else. It's about, you know, doing it. Mm-hmm. I think that once you start doing it and start having those conversations and start sharing those kind of things, it's easier to share the next one and it's easier to understand the next one, especially when you talk about it in the current climate, right? Where everybody wants to talk about, you see Joe Rogan or whoever else ranting about cancel culture.
Yep.
And I shouldn't even throw Joe Rogan. I saw him talking about the woke thing the other day. I don't know if that was exactly the same thing. I'm talking about people who are like, cancel culture will kill us all. Cancel culture will do this, blah, 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 blah. No, what'll kill you is being an asshole.
Yeah.
What will kill you is being called out for, hey, this hurt my feelings or this is over the line and blah, blah, blah. And you not going, let's have a conversation about it. Let's talk it out. Let's, blah. You going, get the hell out of here. Blah, 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 blah. I'm trying not to curse as much. You know what I mean? You know, blah, 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 block right. And you're done with it kind of thing. That doesn't do anything for what the conversation is. And usually when you do see somebody canceled, in quotes, for something they've done, right? It's because not that was their first strike. That's like their 19th. Like we've known you've sucked for a long time. Then this thing happened and you like, no, like you don't, like that's not the end of it. And so like, I'm never saying like, obviously there's people like we talked about earlier that don't like me and like, you know, have reasons and snippets and all these things. But my hope would be that by talking about them and owning them, I'm trying to show that like I'm not that, like I'm not trying to, you know, shut down the conversations. Again, there might be things we don't agree on, there might be things we don't see eye to eye on, but it is this idea that like I'm out there trying to be a good person, and that is in the moral fiber of who I am and what I'm trying to do.
Is the empathy and the introspection what you hope people take from your character?
Yeah, 100%. Like I hope, and that's the hardest part about this, right? Is like the person who heard me make a joke on a podcast, it was like, Greg is a chauvinist. Greg sucks. This is the end of that, blot and shut down. Understandably, hasn't listened to the next 13,000 hours of content I've done where I'm having these, where I've matured, where I've done these things. And so it is that thing that I have to, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk every day. And that's the bigger thing, I guess, is walking the walk. Is like anybody can say all this stuff. I'd hope my actions prove that this is who I am. You know what I mean? I hate it when people think, or I'll see, you know, detractors be like, oh, well, he's just jumping on this bandwagon for the moment to get, you know, internet credibility or internet cred or blah, 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 hearts on his post or something. It's like, there's not enough hearts in the world on a post to come out and just say this stuff and not do it. Like, I'd hope you'd see me following up on it. And like, I'm trying to follow up on it. And if I'm not following up on it, if I'm not walking the walk, I want to be called on it. I want to know that.
I think that is a very admirable quality. You know, it's hard to believe we've already been over an hour now because this conversation feels like it could go on for another six.
We could do it. That should be like an extra life one.
An extra life
one. Yeah, absolutely.
I do love talking to you, my friend. You're always a good time.
Steve, I love you. You know that.
Love you too, buddy. And that'll bring us to our 10 questions. These are ramp questions that come at the end of every interview segment. They're going to be rapid fire. You're allowed to say as much and little as you want. You can not skip them, though. You have to answer them. And they're going to ramp from silly to very serious.
Oh, God.
Ready?
Yeah. Well, my question is, this is like inside the actor's studio. Does everybody get the same
questions? That is correct. This is a direct homage to James Lipson's ending question.
Homage. Yeah. Homage. We call it a ripoff where I'm from, but okay.
That's right. All right. So here we go. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your least favorite?
Green is what popped to mind. I don't know why.
Best thing you've ever tasted?
Baroni's pizza. The Baroni's Italian beef pizza in Glen Ellyn, Illinois.
Getting sponsorship from that. The worst thing you've ever tasted.
Yeah, right. The small family pizzeria. Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna be like, here you go. Here's a $10 gift card for when you never come visit.
The worst thing you've ever tasted.
Dirt.
Have you ever loved?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever hurt someone?
Yes.
What can somebody do to earn your trust?
Wow. I mean, be a good person, right? Again, back to being cliche, but like, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk. Like, we can all see it from each other, right? Like, I think you can see people who are just saying things to get over on the internet, or are just saying the thing to ride the trend. But it's a different thing to see people who are out there busting their butt every day.
Okay, and what can somebody do to lose your trust?
I mean, be closed-minded, right? To shut people down, to not listen to somebody who has a rational, I'm not happy about this, or I don't understand why, not to engage in a conversation with somebody who wants to have it.
If someone spoke to you the way that you speak to yourself when no one else is around, would you be friends with that person?
Oh yeah, best friends. I'm a big Greg Miller fan.
That's fair enough. And I'm going to switch your 10th question, because you already answered it on a different podcast about if you died tomorrow, what do you hope people will remember? So I'm not going to ask you that. So I'm going to trade that out, and I'm going to give you a chance. On Kind of Funny Cool Best Friend Show, you said you once messed up the question with Blessing. Who is Greg Miller? So I'm going to give you a shot right now. Who is Greg Miller?
Greg Miller is a person on the internet trying to do his best.
Okay. The big question. Do you have a personal life philosophy that you would attribute to getting you where you are right now?
I mean, I would say be better to each other, right? Kick the ladder back down for the next guy.
Do you believe that some things are better left unsaid?
Yeah, probably.
I guess we'll find out, because that's it for us today. Thank you so much, Greg Miller, for being here and enjoying our audience with all these amazing tidbits of information. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.